Hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Let's kick off once again with the 31st Africa Cup of Nations football tournament in Gabon. It's the 12th day of competition at the African Football Showpiece, and the spotlight is on the northern town of Oyem and the western coastal city of Port-Gentil. That's where Mali and Egypt will play for the last quarterfinal berth later Wednesday evening in matches that kick off at 1900 GMT UTC. In Oyem, Mali will meet Uganda, which has no points and has been eliminated. The Malians, with 1 point, need a victory to have any chance of advancing. In Port-Gentil, Egypt is in better position to make it through when it plays Ghana. The Pharaohs of Egypt, winners of a record 7 Nations Cup titles, have 4 points, and they're guaranteed of advancing with a draw against the Black Stars of Ghana. The Ghanaians have posted 1-0 victories over Uganda and Mali, and they've already qualified for the quarterfinals. In Nations Cup action Tuesday, Morocco and the Democratic Republic of Congo scored victories, and they're both through to the knockout round. In Oyem, the Moroccans eliminated defending champion Ivory Coast 1-0 on a spectacular long-range strike by substitute Rashid Alioui in the 64th minute. Morocco's French head coach, Hervé Renard, was in charge of Ivory Coast in 2015 when he led the Elephants to the Nations Cup trophy. Speaking after the match, he suggested a bad pitch in Oyem contributed to Morocco's success. Renard said, and I quote, "I feel very good and give congratulations to the players. They did very well tactically. They didn't do very well technically, but the pitch is very difficult." And then Renard went on to say, "Today we beat Ivory Coast on a bad pitch that proved to be a leveler. But at the end, when you win the game 1-0 against the African champions, you are very happy." I'm sure Coach Renard will be even happier should Morocco go on to lift the Nations Cup trophy in Gabon. The French coach can achieve an unprecedented 3rd Nations Cup title with a 3rd different team, having also lifted the trophy with Zambia in 2012. In Port-Gentil Tuesday, the Democratic Republic of Congo defeated Togo 3-1. Junior Kabananga, Fermin Mubele, and Paul-José Mpoku had the goals for the Congolese, while Kojo Fodolaba scored Togo's goal. And let's give a sunny side of sports salute to Congolese striker Junior Kabananga. He's based in Kazakhstan with the club Astana, and he's now the leading scorer at Gabon 2017 with 3 goals. Let's take a quick look now at the quarterfinal matchups in Gabon. On Saturday, Burkina Faso will take on Tunisia in the capital, Libreville. That same day, in a battle of the Lions of Teranga from Senegal will go against the indomitable Lions from Cameroon in the southeastern city of Franceville. On Sunday, the Democratic Republic of Congo will play the Group D runner-up in Oyem. And also on Sunday, Morocco will meet the winner of Group D in Port-Gentil. Semifinal matches are scheduled for February 1st in Libreville and February 2nd in Franceville. The Africa Cup of Nations final will be played February 5th in Libreville. February 5th is also when the Super Bowl of American-style professional football will be played. And just ahead on the Sunny Side of Sports, I'll chat with Dan Friedel of the VOA's Learning English Department about the big game in Houston, Texas. But first, let's take a short break for this Voice of America programming announcement.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Barty here to remind you that February is Black History Month here in the United States. And starting Wednesday, February 1st, and continuing throughout the month, we will begin our Black History Month and daily quiz series on Daybreak Africa. Listen every morning as we profile historical African Americans and African individuals and events. Send us your country's historical moment in February. You can win special VOA goodies by answering one of our daily Black History questions. Please send your answers to Daybreak Africa at voanews.com. You can also call us on 202-205-9942. We will select a winner each morning from among the correct answers.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight.
Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Dan Friedel of the Voice of America's Learning English Department. Dan, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Sunny. I'm glad to be here.
The 51st Super Bowl of American-style football will be February 5th in Houston, Texas. The two teams that made it to the big game, the New England Patriots and the Atlanta Falcons. Let's quickly look back, Dan, to how they made it to the title game. The Falcons soared past the visiting Green Bay Packers 44-21 in the NFC Championship game. And the Patriots beat the Pittsburgh Steelers 36-17 in the AFC Championship game. Looking back on those games, Dan, I sort of expected closer contests.
I was excited for Sunday's games. I had a chance to sit down at home and put my feet up and watch the games, and then they turned out to be pretty much duds. The tradition of the Green Bay Packers, one of the legendary teams in the NFL, and kind of the upstart Atlanta Falcons, who just 2 years ago had fired their head coach before hiring their current coach, Dan Quinn, who was the defensive coordinator for the Super Bowl-winning Seattle Seahawks at the time. Quinn has turned the team around, obviously, with the help of offensive coordinator Kyle Shanahan, and he's gotten the Falcons to the Super Bowl. It's a pretty impressive turnaround in just about 24 months since taking over as the head coach. So you've got to give them a lot of credit regardless of what happens in the big game coming up two Sundays from now.
The Patriots will be playing in their ninth Super Bowl, and it'll be the seventh Super Bowl with star quarterback Tom Brady and head coach Bill Belichick. Looking back on the past couple decades, Dan, would you call the Patriots the most dominant team in the NFL?
You have to call them that. There's no argument against that. The Pittsburgh Steelers have had a couple of good seasons. The Seattle Seahawks have been strong, let's say, the last 6 years or so. But if you go back to the 2001 season, September 2001, Tom Brady, who was a low draft pick for the Patriots at the time, he wasn't even the starting quarterback for a lot of the time that he was in college at the University of Michigan. He comes in after the incumbent quarterback has a really serious injury in a game against the New York Jets early in the season. Brady takes over, and basically the team rides Brady, this unknown player, to the Super Bowl that year. It's the first Super Bowl appearance for the Patriots in a few years. And next thing you know, they've got 15 seasons, only two times missing the playoffs, getting into the Super Bowl seven times. It's really incredible, especially in the current era of the National Football League, with a kind of diluted player field, some more expansion teams compared to the, you know, the legendary teams of the 1970s and 1980s. The players are a little bit more free to move from team to team, looking for bigger contracts. The fact that Brady has stayed with the team for the whole time, Belichick has been with the team for the whole time, they've had a lot of different players, a lot of different coaches, and they've managed to rise to this level nearly every season. It's pretty incredible.
Tom Brady, 39 years old, which is ancient for a quarterback in the NFL. Does it surprise you he's playing so well at such an old age for NFL players?
I think you have to look at the gains of the experience that he has, the fact that he really knows how to play the position. He has a great leader in Belichick, as much as people might think he's a little bit of a difficult person publicly. Everybody who has been a part of the Patriots franchise while Belichick has been there just loves the guy as a coach. He sets a great tone for the organization. Brady has had some injuries in his past. I mean, he missed almost an entire season with a bad knee injury. And he missed the first four games of this season sitting out because of legal problems.
Deflategate.
Stemming from the accusation that the Patriots had used footballs that were not inflated to the correct air pressure in the playoffs 2 years ago, that was fought out and almost made it to the Supreme Court before Brady decided to give in and sit out the first four games. He came back, threw 28 touchdowns, just two interceptions. The Patriots went 11-1 with him as the quarterback after the suspension ended. He doesn't move around really well, but he is really an expert at seeing what the other team is giving him, getting rid of the ball quickly, finding his best option out of his receivers or running backs. He's really an expert. I mean, the fact that he's been able to play at such a high level when a lot of quarterbacks are slowing down is really impressive.
Atlanta's quarterback is Matt Ryan, and some say he's the favorite to win the Most Valuable Player award this season in the National Football League. Ryan has been outstanding for the Falcons. Your thoughts on him?
Well, Matt Ryan had the reputation, Matty Ice, because of the ice water in his veins, the fact that he could come up big in clutch situations going back to his time in college, Boston College, just down the street from where Tom Brady lives outside of Boston.
That's right.
He really was able to improve on his performance this year. Some of the problems he's had in the past, while he's been good at throwing touchdown passes and producing a lot of yardage, is that he had a lot of trouble with interceptions. And this year he managed to throw 38 touchdown passes and only seven interceptions, taking advantage of this tremendous receiver, Julio Jones, who's been one of the best receivers in the NFL for the 5 years or so that he's been in the league. Kyle Shanahan, who's the offensive coordinator, has this reputation of being a great mentor of quarterbacks, and he's probably going to become a head coach in the very near future. And they've really clicked. The fact that Ryan is able to distribute the ball to some good running backs, and he has these offensive weapons in his receivers. The question is not really so much whether the Falcons are going to be able to move the ball. It's whether the Patriots' defense is going to be able to hold them out of the end zone. That's something that the Patriots have done really well this year. They were the number one or number two best defense as far as limiting the other team's scoring. Not so much in yardage allowed, but limiting the scoring. So that could be important in the Super Bowl.
You mentioned Julio Jones as one of the primary targets for Matt Ryan. Who will Tom Brady be throwing to in the Super Bowl?
Well, Brady has a cast of characters like Julian Edelman, for example. He's a small wide receiver who actually was a quarterback in college. The Patriots found him and converted him into a receiver. But after that, he's got a couple of good running backs. Deion Lewis actually kind of broke onto the scene after being injured for a long stretch of the season. He scored three touchdowns in the Patriots' previous playoff game, where they defeated the Houston Texans pretty easily. The Patriots have a diverse offense, but, you know, one of the players who won't be there is perhaps the best tight end in the NFL. That's Rob Gronkowski.
Gronk.
He's this dynamic player who suffered a pretty serious injury back at the end of September and has been out for the rest of the season. He's the kind of guy who provides a impossible matchup for the opposing defense, and he won't be on the field. But without him there, the Patriots are still in the Super Bowl like they seem to be almost every year.
Both quarterbacks, Matt Ryan and Tom Brady, they had great games in their respective conference championship games. Each almost threw for 400 yards. Do you expect a high-scoring Super Bowl, Dan?
Well, I think the odds in Vegas, the Las Vegas bookmakers say that there should be about 60 points scored in the game. They're taking taking odds on whether it's going to be above 60 or below 60. And so that means that it could be a score like 34-27, which would be exciting. One of the issues is that over the course of 2 weeks, one of the teams can have a better game plan than the other. They have 14 days to really study the other team's tendencies. And Bill Belichick has his history. Well, he's the head coach now as a defensive coach in the past, going back to New York Giants, Buffalo Bills Super Bowl in the early 90s when the Giants beat the Bills in a close game. The Bills were known as one of the most dynamic offenses in the NFL, and Belichick was in charge of the Giants defense that really shut them down. So that's probably the point where the game will turn. It's whether the Patriots defense is able to come up with a couple big plays or a couple of big stops, perhaps preventing the Falcons from scoring a touchdown in an important moment, maybe forcing them to kick a field goal. In a close game, 3 or 6 points can be all the difference.
Dan, the Super Bowl is one of the biggest party days here in the United States. Many Americans will hold Super Bowl parties. There will be cookouts. The game is broadcast all over the world. Lots of people just tune in for the halftime entertainment. Talk about the entertainment for this 51st Super Bowl.
So the game's going to be started off by country singer Luke Bryan, who's going to do the national anthem. And I think you had some trivia about who the last male singer was to perform the national anthem in the Super Bowl.
That would be a good question for our Voice of America listeners, but I'll give you a clue. I think his nickname is the Piano Man. And that musical interlude should provide a pretty good clue to our Super Bowl trivia question. Billy Joel was the last male singer to perform the national anthem at the Super Bowl. Billy sang it 10 years ago at Super Bowl 41 in Miami, Florida, where the Indianapolis Colts defeated the Chicago Bears 29-17. Dan Friedel of the VOA's Learning English Department says country singer Luke Bryan will sing the national anthem at Super Bowl 51 on February 5th in Houston, Texas. And Dan, I understand last year's national anthem performer will play a big entertainment role in Houston.
On the heels of her great national anthem performance last year, Lady Gaga got the chance to do the halftime performance about 15 minutes between the second quarter and the third quarter. You know, that's the time when people usually get another beer or get some chips or something like that.
But that's right.
It's become a spectacle all by itself. And, you know, some famous performers, Prince, Michael Jackson, Madonna, the Rolling Stones, going back many, many years. I mean, the first Super Bowl, the halftime show, were marching bands. And now it's the, you know, world's most famous pop singers. And I was reading about this earlier. Last year, for example, the headliners were Coldplay, but he was joined by Bruno Mars and Beyonce. This year, as far as we know so far, now something could change in the next 10 days or so, it's just going to be Lady Gaga. That's all she wants to do. She doesn't want any help, so we'll see how she does.
Well, maybe she'll maybe bring out Tony Bennett or something. I know she's done some duets with Mr. Bennett in the past. But we're going to talk more about the big game, Dan, hopefully next week. But I'll put you on the spot early. Who do you like at this sort of early stage of the Super Bowl? Who do you like to win?
I really would love to see the Falcons win this game. I mean, not that the Falcons have any special history in the NFL, but it would be a new team winning a Super Bowl. They haven't done it before. I always tend to root for these teams that haven't done it yet because I feel like it crosses one team off the list so that my favorite team can finally get a chance to win. That would be the Cleveland Browns. But I think they're many, many years away from having that happen. I really do think, though, that, you know, the Patriots have a bad taste in their mouth. I mean, last year in the playoffs, Peyton Manning and the Denver Broncos knocked them off in kind of a surprising upset. Brady didn't play especially well in the AFC Championship game. And he is looking for a chance to kind of get revenge on the NFL. I mean, I'm sure he has a bad taste in his mouth from the fact that he had to miss the first four games. He's going to be exceedingly well prepared. The Patriots team has been there before, just a couple of years ago, losing to, beating Seattle, in fact. Sorry about that. Beating Seattle in a dramatic Super Bowl where the Patriots got a key interception on the goal line. Looked like Seattle was going to win the game. So I think the team that's going to be cool, they're going to have act like they've been there before because they have been there recently, is going to be the Patriots. And I think they'll manage to win the game without too much problem.
Dan Friedel of the Voice of America's Learning English Department. Thank you, Dan. And we'll talk some more about the Super Bowl in the days to come.
Thanks, Sonny.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life.
Voice of America, VOA, Washington.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Turning to athletics, Jamaican sprint star Usain Bolt has been stripped of one of his 9 Olympic gold medals after it was confirmed that one of his 4x100-meter relay teammates, Nesta Carter, tested positive for a banned substance at the 2008 Beijing Olympics. It means Bolt can no longer claim to have done the triple treble, gold medals in the 100 meters, the 200 meters, and the 4x100 meters relay at the 2008 Olympics, the 2012 Olympics in London, and the 2016 Olympics in Rio de Janeiro. Traces of the banned stimulant, methylhexanamine, were found in Carter's sample when 454 frozen blood and urine samples from the 2008 games were retested by the International Olympic Committee last year. The 31-year-old Carter has been a key member of Jamaica's 4x100-meter relay team for nearly a decade. All four members of Jamaica's 4x100-meter relay squad in 2008, Nesta Carter, Usain Bolt, Asafa Powell, and Michael Frater, have now been stripped of their medals. Trinidad and Tobago has been promoted one position to the gold medal. Japan now gets the silver medal, and Brazil the bronze. Finally, in tennis, American star Serena Williams has moved one step closer to her record 23rd career Grand Slam singles title. Serena made quick work of Great Britain's Johanna Konta on Wednesday at the Australian Open in Melbourne, final score 6-2 and 6-3. Standing between Serena and an appearance in the final is surprising Croatian veteran Mirjana Lucic-Baroni. She upset number 5 seed Karolina Pliskova in a 3-set thriller. In men's action, 9th seeded Rafael Nadal, he was a winner. And that now makes a possible final against Roger Federer a distinct possibility. Rafa against Federer in the final down under. That would be some exciting stuff. And that wraps up the January 25th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to my producer, Kwame Ofori. Thanks also to VOA engineer Nick Ivanoff. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Substantial regions of Africa's Lake Chad Basin, particularly northeastern Nigeria, are at risk of facing famine. At least two locations likely already experienced famine last year. Lake Chad shrinking, years of poor harvest, and a limping economy have contributed to the crisis. But the primary reason is the violence and destruction caused by the terror group Boko Haram, its attacks on the civilian population, the armed conflict with the Nigerian and regional militaries, and the resulting destruction of civilian infrastructure. In Nigeria, the Boko Haram insurgency has caused the deaths of some 20,000 people over the past 7 years, abducted thousands from their schools and homes, and practically stopped all agricultural production. It is responsible for the current displacement of 1.63 million people from their homes within Nigeria, where hundreds of thousands are cut off from assistance. The conditions are worst in Nigeria's states of Adamawa, Yobe, and Borno, areas where Boko Haram is most active. According to a recent United Nations analysis, some 8.5 million people there are in urgent need of humanitarian aid. In Borno state alone, 3.2 million people out of a population of 5.5 million are facing severe food insecurity. The UN estimated that 55,000 people faced famine in 2016, and that number could climb to 120,000 by the summer. Around 400,000 children under the age of 5 are severely malnourished, and UNICEF fears that number will also rise to 450,000. To help mitigate this crisis of food insecurity, the United Nations has put out a call for international donations to meet the humanitarian needs of the people of northeastern Nigeria. The 2017 Humanitarian Response Plan, Appeal for Nigeria, a fundraising effort coordinated by the United Nations, is for well over $1 billion. However, if these urgent needs are not addressed quickly, the required budget will grow. Considering that the 2016 Nigeria appeal for $484 million is less than half funded, the prospects for raising a sum of $1 billion will be very challenging. The United States has already committed $92 million in the first quarter of the 2017 fiscal year, bringing the total amount for fiscal years 2016 and 2017 to $291 million. This has become one of the world's greatest overlooked crises. We call on other donors to move quickly in providing humanitarian funding for the millions of people in the region whose lives have been affected by Boko Haram violence and to avert likely famine.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. This Sunday, tune in for an awesome hour of African music, music news, and culture. Democracy and Music. This week, I bring 10 of your favorite African artists to the mic to give, and in some cases, to sing you their views on the topic. Don't miss it this Sunday, 1500 and 2000 UTC, right here on Music Time in Africa.
And I will feel alright.
Are you wandering around lost in a musical desert? Well, follow your ears to the fantastic, the one and only African Music Mix on the Voice of America. Bathe yourself in this musical oasis. From the north to the south and from the east to the west, the African Music Mix plays only the best.
Yes, sir. Two Face. Nato C. Hey.
Tune in at 200, 300, 1200, and 1300 UTC GMT. Every day, right here on VOA Africa.